Hello and welcome. It's a joy. Yes, it is. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to come to you again this week over the Just Jesus Radio Network. Oh, yes. What a network that is. Have you listened in often? Do you hear your favorite hymns? Do you hear your favorite oldies? Oh, yes. They're inspiring indeed. I believe God has placed His hand upon the Just Jesus Radio Network, and that's why I'm here. I want to acknowledge God for what He's doing for you and for me and for the whole world. Will you listen to my message today? Today I call my message Lost or Lost Again. Lost or Lost Again? Ooh, wow. Let's have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this another opportunity You've given me, Lord, to bring forth a message that You have laid on my heart, Lord. I pray You would give me utterance, and I pray, Lord, that those who are listening in, Lord, that their ears would be unstopped and they'd hear the truth of Thy word, Lord. And when all is said and done, I pray, Lord, that You be lifted up and that Jesus Christ will be glorified. For it's in His wonderful, precious name that I pray. Amen. Okay. So, are you lost? Or lost again? You know, there are some places you go to, some churches even, where they'll say, oh, are you lost? You say, well, I don't know. Well, I guess you're lost again. What'd you do last night? What have you been doing lately? Running with the devil's lot? Well, you come to the right place. We'll make sure you're saved again. Oh, watch out. Watch out for these. You know, one day last year at the beach, I lost my watch. My watch, you know, W-A-T-C-H. Later that year, that same year, I lost my luggage somewhere near the airport. And if that ain't all, I lost my temper at the supper table. Ooh. However, there's one thing I did not lose at any time. Anytime, and I never will. You know what that is? That's my salvation. My salvation. My salvation. I can't speak for you, but I know my salvation is secure and can never be taken from me, no matter what. Once I repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was secured. Oh, yes, the shed blood has been over me ever since. And there is nothing that can take that away. I couldn't even get rid of it myself if I wanted to, because I'll never want to, for one thing. Oh, no. You see, salvation of the Lord is once for all. Once for all. You can't say, oh, I remember I was saved a few years back, and then I just couldn't handle it, so I'd be turned back to my old way again, you know. Back like a dog to his vomit, I guess you might say, and start living my old life over again. You know, well, you know, consider this. You know, we all backslide from time to time. None of us is perfect, and we won't be until we're in His presence. So, look, if that's the road that you were traveling, that you were backslidden, you know, turn around, repent, come back to Christ. He's waiting for you. You know, He's waiting for you. He's not going to kick you. He's not going to say, no, I don't want you anymore. No, yeah, I had you. You had me once, but you're not having me anymore. No, He won't say that. Not if you were saved before. Because we all get in a backslidden mode from time to time. It's there. It's just that we're in the flesh, and the flesh is a terrible thing at times. So don't worry about that. Just come now. Come and give yourself over to the Lord. That's what I did. That's what I did. You see, once you're saved, that's it. You're saved once for all. You just have to get rid of all that sin. And that's why the indwelling Holy Spirit is there, helping you, convicting you. Okay? Okay. You know, in John 5, verse 24, Jesus tells it, well, like it is and ever shall be. Jesus to the Jews. He was speaking here, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, well, he hath everlasting life." Everlasting life. Verily, verily. Verily, verily. And he shall come on, not unto condemnation, because it is passed from him unto life. It is passed. When we come to Jesus, condemnation is passed. It's taken away from us. We're given a new life in Christ. For sure, for sure, for sure. With all certainty, with all certainty. You know, I witnessed to a man, well, some years ago anyway, I witnessed to a man. Fine gentleman he was indeed. But, you know, he was all mixed up. He didn't know what to believe or anything. But, you know, he displayed himself as a wicked and cruel man with a tongue on fire for the devil, it seemed. And an attitude to match, you might say. Yes, he was. And it was no easy task, none whatsoever. Nonetheless, though, a burdened soul on the fast lane to hell. That's what he was, a burdened soul on the highway to hell. His vocabulary was that of total blasphemy. Whenever he'd see me coming, he'd cross over to the other side of the street. You ever have that happen? You want to talk to somebody about the Lord. They heard you before giving a big spiel, and they didn't like it. So when they see you, they go around the corner, they hide behind a lamp post and everything else, just so they don't have to meet you head on, and you're going to start blubbering again about the things of the Lord. It happens. It's common. Whenever he'd see me coming, well, he'd cross over the other street or disappear down some alleyway. Well, I have to admit, more than not, I felt like giving up and saying, just going on my way. Just letting him go to wherever the Lord was going to lead him. I just couldn't handle it any longer. It just seemed it was a lost cause. I felt like giving up. I did. But I couldn't. I couldn't. I didn't believe that God wanted me to give up on that soul. God wouldn't let me. I took issue with God about my assignment. I did. There was no way this drunken old fool was going to be preached to. No way at all. Well, I had to go into prayer mode. I did. Real serious prayer mode. That God would present this drunken soul in a sober state of mind. So he'd understand at least what I was saying. How could this be, I thought. How could it be? He's always drunk. Every time I see him, he's drunk. Everywhere, anywhere, except at the door to the liquor store after he's dried out from the night before. Then he ain't drunk yet. He just stand there shaking like a leaf. That was it. That was it. At the door of the liquor store, that's where I would meet him. Before the devil took control. That's it. Before the devil took control. Before he had become mindless again. You know, the word of God will not return to him void. No, it won't. No, it won't. In Colossians 1, verse 13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, how I love those words. Yes, I do. Do you know that salvation is once for all? And never to be repeated? You can't say, I remember I got saved a few years back. But I gave it up because it just wasn't worth it. I just couldn't make any sense of it, so I just put it aside. And you didn't really get saved then. You know, you can get saved and you can walk in disobedience, you know. But don't forget you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. If your salvation is true, you're indwelled by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will keep you under control. He will show you the way. He will help you in times when you're feeling down. You don't know what to say or do. Just pray, pray, pray without ceasing, the Word says. Pray, pray without ceasing. You see, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Wow! Oh, how great is that? Did you know that salvation is actually once for all? So when, like I said, if you get saved once, then you get saved for all time. all time. You just can't say, well, I'm going to get saved today because I'm on my way to church. But tomorrow I'll go back, you know, on the line again and do my usual lifestyle. But you can't do that. Because if you really do get saved, you're going to come under conviction by the Holy Spirit. You see, we just thought, you walked that aisle and you just thought, because somebody told you, say this prayer, say these words after me. And you repeat the words, and you feel good that you did, and you get up and you go back to your pew, and at the end, the preacher says, I want to thank those people who walked the aisle today and are saved now and are living a new life in Christ. But are they? Are they? Well, we don't know. You'll know them by their fruits, the Bible says. Did you know that salvation really is once for all and can never be repeated? To repeat it, excuse me, to repeat it would mean to send Jesus back to the cross. That's what it would mean. You can't send Jesus back to the cross. That would mean that his initial crucifixion was not sufficient for all time. And couldn't hold you, and you had to send them back and do it over again. No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. There is none so pure, there is none so righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing purer and more powerful than the very blood of the crucified one. Nothing, oh no, nothing whatsoever, as the hymn writer so aptly put it. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And yes, he did. He washed it white as snow. You know, you're not going to stop sinning as soon as you get saved. I mean, you're still living in that flesh. You're still living in this world, you know, encompassed by sin. You know, you need the Holy Spirit to help guide you through this mess. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hang on. You're washed in the blood. You're washed in the blood. Jesus paid it all. Oh, yes, he did. Did you know that if you are really saved, then you have the Spirit of God living inside of you? Did anybody ever tell you that? Oh, yes, you do. And what does the Holy Spirit do? What? What does he do? Well, he seals you with a seal that can never be broken. Never be broken. And since the seal of God lives inside of you, whenever sin comes knocking at your door, it cannot penetrate beyond that which is holy. Have you got that? Whenever sin comes knocking at your heart's door, it cannot penetrate beyond that which is holy. That's why you have to reinforce yourself. You have to say, oh, I don't know, I want to go there, I want to do this, I know I shouldn't do that because I'm a Christian. Then you get on your knees if you have to and you call out to God, the Holy Spirit, say, help me, Lord, help me. If it's wrong, please don't let me do that. If it's wrong, don't let me say that, Lord, please. I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry. Please. You know what? Take notice to Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, which says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Oh, isn't that a wonderful verse? Wonderful indeed. Oh, how I love it, how I love it. You know, there are those among the unlearned who think that the phrase, work out your own salvation, means to save yourself. Not so, not so. Paul was merely reminding us that he won't always be present to guide you. That Paul wouldn't be there to guide us. That's what he was saying. Not the Holy Spirit. Because once you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. Every one of us. So, you know, he gives you direction. He'll show you what's right from wrong. But if you get over anxious and decide that you just don't want it, you just can't handle it, you know, there's nothing more the Holy Spirit can do. except remember this in the back of your mind. If you were truly saved, when you walk that out, you are truly saved when you're facing this here terrible, terrible onslaught of sin right now. You are still saved. Yes, you are. Work it out. Save oneself. Not so. Not so. You can't save yourself. Paul was merely reminding us that he won't always be present to guide us. Huh? Not speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of himself. Okay? As long as we are in this flesh, and though sin hath no more dominion over us spiritually, we must still continue to don the full armor of God. Don't take it off when you go to bed at night. Don't even take it off when you have a shower. We're talking spiritually here now. We're not talking putting on an overcoat. We're not talking about getting a raincoat on. We're not talking about having your whole body redone in some fashion. No, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, he doesn't live on you. He lives inside of you. And once he's in there to stay. He's in there to stay. A lot of people won't believe that. But you know what? That's what the Bible says. Once saved, always saved. Oh, yes. Jesus came. He paid the price for our sins. Past, present, and future. You know, just because we're saved doesn't mean we're not going to sin. Oh, no, none of us is perfect. And we won't be until we cross that threshold into glory, where Jesus is waiting to meet us, take us by the hand, lead us into the promised land. Oh, yes. As believers in Christ, we have been declared righteous and acceptable unto the family of God. Yes, unto the family of God. Being made citizens of heaven. Oh, wow. Are you a citizen of heaven? You're not there yet, but you can be a citizen as long as you get saved. Your citizenship is there in glory, and there's a place reserved for you. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. You know, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence. Yes, he has. As soon as you cross that line from destruction into salvation, you know, from hell into heaven, as soon as you cross that line, guess what? You are a citizen of heaven. You are the Holy Spirit. Is there. He's inside of you. So, what's the job of the Holy Spirit, you might say? Well, I touched on it. To give us direction in our daily walk. That's one thing. To strengthen us daily against the wiles of the devil. And that's really bad, that one. We need strength, extra strength. But the Holy Spirit is there for that purpose. To give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us power over the wiles of the devil, over sin, which doth so easily beset us. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, we're virtually helpless. And not only helpless, but hopeless. Yes, we are. We are. While we are saved once for all from the penalty of sin, we still need to be saved from the presence and the power of sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, I'm not saying you lose your salvation. No, I told you before, that's not what it is. It means you lose that enthusiasm, that power that God has put inside you, which is the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know, once saved, always saved. The sin which doth so easily beset us. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter if we're saved or lost. We're going to encounter sin in our daily walk. And even more so, realizing it, because the indwelling Holy Spirit reveals that sin to us. To us. So we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. Until we hear now, That thundering voice beckoning us to come up hither. Until we hear that, we must hold fast to that which was first given unto the saints. Yes, we must. We must hold fast. God wants us to grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ, to be beacons of light to an unsaved and dying world, to be steadfast in the faith once given on to the saints. The faith once given on to us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. You will have no doubt. Pardon me. You will have no doubt. Oh, pardon me. I get that backwards. You will no doubt have heard from those who have shunned the cross of Christ and have been hoodwinked by that old devil. For their task is made simple. These enemies of Christ, you know what? They're diligently roaming about the earth in search of lost souls to strengthen their cause against the Savior. They're the enemies of the cross. They're out there, and it seems like they're growing every day. Look what's going on in our countries, in the United States, in Canada, all around the world. The devil is getting a greater foothold than ever before, and with that foothold comes an amazing stronghold. And with the stronghold, the work of our blessed Savior is going to take a beating, you know. You see, sin is the worst weapon of all against Jesus Christ, because He died for that sin, that it would be eradicated, and it is within every soul that believes and has turned to Christ in that faith believing. It's gone. It's gone. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just be strong. Just be strong. And when I say be strong, I'm talking physically. I'm talking be strong in your faith, what you believe. Cling to the faith. Cleave to the faith. Yes, our omniscient God knows. He knows who will come to His seat of mercy. Are you one of them? I am. God did not promise us a bed of roses, but He did promise us something far, far greater. You know what that is? Of course you do. Eternal joy and eternal peace in His heavenly kingdom. If, there's that little word, that big little word, if we but repent and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you have to do. Believe. It's not asking you to put on a muscle show where you can't, everybody can't do that, but you can believe. You can believe with your dying breath. You can believe. And also He promises that we, because of our belief, are fully justified and already citizens of heaven. However, what God did not promise, is riches untold in our earthly estate. And everybody seems to be looking for that. Well, if God loves me so much, how come He won't get me that new home? How come He won't get me that new car? No, God didn't promise you earthly riches. He promised you riches in glory. You know, when we meet our brothers and sisters in glory, you're going to hear from them. You're going to know that most of them, they weren't rich. They weren't out buying new things every day and wasting money right and left. No, they were just simple people like you who believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they are. That's what they are. He doesn't promise us riches on this earth, but only in His heavenly estate. Only in Him. Neither did He promise us freedom from adversity and earthly trials. No, He didn't. Nor did He promise us that our journey would be down pathways adorned with heavenly gardens. No, He didn't. But they're in heaven. They're in heaven waiting for us. You believe that? I do. You see, what He did promise, and this is the big thing, what He really did promise was a way of escape. A way of escape from the devil's fiery darts. And from the sin, I said it before, that doth so easily beset us. And it does easily beset us, you know that. There are those who believe that God doesn't want us all to be saved. Well, if that were true, then 2 Peter 3:9 would be a lie. Which says very clearly, now listen carefully to this, at 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, that all, are you coming to repentance? If you haven't been there, do it now. Do it now. Then they go to Romans And the confusion begins to set in here. They go, oh, what's that? Romans 8:30. Moreover, when he, God, predestined, these he also, whom God predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here's the problem now. Listen carefully. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Go back to the preceding verse, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Okay? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. People, God is not the author of confusion. Are you getting the picture? Are you? I pray so. God's foreknowledge. God knew even before the foundation of the world who would get saved. Now take that one to the bank. Okay? Who would believe and why? He also knew who would believe and why his son would be required to die at Calvary. To die at Calvary. Oh my, what a blessed Savior we have. God knew Tom Bondi would be saved. That's me. Therefore, I would repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God knew that Pharaoh would not be saved. He would die in his sins. God knows if you and you over there and you will get saved. For when he, God, did foreknow, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And called, and justified, and glorified. Do not bring God down to your level. Do not short-circuit the Word of God. Do not hesitate, for he who hesitates will be lost. Yes, he will. He will be lost. Tell me, are you saved? Are you sure? Are you really sure? If you're not sure, why not make sure of that decision today? Why? While the doorway into his presence is still open. Remember, God will not always strive with mankind. No, he will not. Oh, I hope that this message has been a blessing to you, as it was for me to be able to create it. And God, the Holy Spirit, gave me the words to say. Yes, and they're all in his holy book, the Bible. I pray for you. I pray for your house, which means your family. If there's one amongst you who's not saved today, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for another day, because tomorrow is promised to no one. Thank you. God bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. And amen.